This is a non-biased examination of Genesis 1 and is not affiliated with any religion or doctrine. All required research was done independently on my own and is protected by copyright, unless otherwise noted. So, in the first chapter of the Bible, the name for God is Elohim, number 430, which is plural and means divine ones. So, the Elohim or the divine ones are more than one. And that's the word used throughout the entire first chapter of the Bible. Verse 1 says, "The Elohim created the heaven and the earth." And the word translated as created, number 1254a, means to create new conditions and circumstances, a transformation. And the word translated as heavens, number 8064, also means sky or atmosphere or air. So Genesis 1:1 can also say, "In the beginning, the Elohim created new conditions in the atmosphere of the earth." So we'll put that here. In the beginning, the Elohim created new conditions in the atmosphere of the earth. And we'll add that here so we can refer to it later. The Elohim created new conditions in the atmosphere. Then verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters." And notice the word translated as spirit, number 7307, also means wind or air. And the word translated as face, number 6440, means surface. So verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the wind of the Elohim moved upon the surface of the waters." And then verse 3 says, "And the Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light, and the Elohim saw that the light was good." And the Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and the Elohim divided the light from the darkness. So verse 3, "The Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light." So notice the order of events from verses 1 through 3. It says, they're creating new conditions in the atmosphere, and the earth was dark on the surface, so it wasn't receiving light from the sun at that point. And that may have been because of dust and debris in the atmosphere. It was dark at that point, so the surface was not receiving the light from the sun. Then the wind of the Elohim moved upon the surface, and the next thing that happens is there's light. So it sounds like they were cleaning up the atmosphere at that point so the sunlight would reach the surface. Then verse 4 says, "And the Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and the Elohim divided the light from the darkness." So we'll add that. The Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and the Elohim divided the light from the darkness. So they cleared the darkness to let the sun shine on the land. And then verse 5 says, "And the Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So again, the word for God is Elohim, number 430, and it's plural, meaning more than one. So the word he is not in the original Hebrew, and it's not appropriate because the word Elohim is plural. So it should say, they called it night. So it says, "And the Elohim called the light day, and the darkness they called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So it's telling us verses 1 through 5 occurred in one day. And the word day can mean three different things in the biblical code. It can refer to a 24-hour period. It can also refer to one year, as in Ezekiel 4:6, a day for a year. Or it can refer to 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So each day in Genesis 1 most likely refers to either 1 year or 1,000 years. The atmosphere was cleaned and light reached the surface in the first day. So in the first year or in the first 1,000 years, that's what happened. And then verse 6 says, and the Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And the word translated as firmament, number 7549, means extended surface, right here. So let there be an extended surface in the midst of the waters, and separate the waters from the waters. And this word for waters, number 4325, right here, has different meanings as well. The first meaning can refer to a spring or a well. It can also refer to the rivers or the seas, or the subterranean waters underground, or it can also refer to the waters in the clouds. So one translation would be, let there be an extended surface in the midst of the waters, and separate the waters in the seas from the waters in the clouds. So we'll add that. And the Elohim said, let there be an extended surface in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters in the seas from the waters in the clouds. And then verse 7 says, and the Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was, and it was so. And this word translated as firmament, number 7549, means extended surface. So we'll add verse 7. It says, and the Elohim made the extended surface and divided the waters which were under the extended surface from the waters which were above the extended surface. And it was so. And then verse 8 says, and the Elohim called the extended surface heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And this word translated as heaven, number 8064, it means atmosphere. So the Elohim called the extended surface the atmosphere, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So it sounds like after the Elohim cleared out the dust in the atmosphere that was making the surface dark and allowed the sunlight to reach the surface, then they divided the seas on the surface from the water in the atmosphere, which sounds like the establishment of the water cycle, which is also known as the hydrologic cycle. And that's basically the process by which the water in the earth and the oceans evaporates upward, condensing into clouds, and then rains back down on the earth. And a big part of this water cycle involves sunlight, because the heat from the sun is what causes the majority of the water evaporation, at least in current times. And this cycle of the evaporation of the surface water up to the higher atmosphere, where it condenses into clouds and rains back down, feeding the plants, that's the hydrologic cycle that Genesis 1 verses 1 through 8 seems to be describing. So we'll add that here. The Elohim appear to have been the ones who created the hydrologic cycle on the earth, or created the conditions necessary for its process. And then verse 9 says, and the Elohim said, let the waters under the atmosphere be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. So we'll add verse 9. Let the waters under the atmosphere be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And then verse 10 says, and the Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And the Elohim saw that it was good. So again, the word God is Elohim, which is plural, so the word he is not accurate, and it's not in the Hebrew. The correct word would be they. So verse 10 says, and the Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters they called seas, and the Elohim saw that it was good. So the Elohim brought forth the dry land on the earth, which implies that the earth was covered with mostly water in the beginning. And that's something that has been confirmed by scientists in recent years. This is an article from New Scientist, which says, scientists now have reason to believe that the earth was covered with mostly water until about 2.5 billion years ago, with land making up only 2 to 3% of its surface. And that would explain why Genesis 1 says that the darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the wind of the Elohim moved upon the surface of the water, and then they divided the water on the surface from the water in the clouds, and then they created more landmass. So that seems to confirm recent scientific calculations that the earth, the early earth, was covered with water. And Genesis 1 tells us the Elohim are the ones that increased the quantity and quality of the land. Then verses 11 through 13 say, and the Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And the Elohim saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So the Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb, and fruit trees whose seed is in itself. And the earth brought forth grass, herb, and tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And the Elohim saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day, or the third 1,000-year period. So we'll add that here as well. They brought forth plants and trees and their seed. And then verse 14 says, and the Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So the word translated as lights, number 3974, it just means light, singular. So the direct translation says, Elohim said, the light in the expanse of the sky that separates the day from the night will be for signs, appointed times, days, and years. So the Elohim said, the light in the expanse of the sky that divides the day from the night will be for signs, appointed times, days, and years. And then verses 15 and 16 say, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And the direct translation says, the light in the expanse of the sky gives light, or number 215, which means shine or illuminate. So the light in the expanse of the sky shines on the earth. So the Elohim made, or 6213a, which means make, but it also means carefully observing, or observe carefully. So verses 15 and 16 say, the light in the expanse of the sky shines on the earth. So the Elohim observed carefully the two great lights, the great light that dominates the day and the small light that dominates the night and the stars. So the light in the expanse of the sky shines upon the earth. So the Elohim observed carefully the two great lights, the great light that dominates the day and the small light that dominates the night and the stars. So we'll add that here. it seems to be saying that Elohim observed the sun, moon, and stars in order to use them for signs. And then verse 17 says, and the Elohim placed, or 54:14, which means permitted or designated. So the Elohim permitted the expanse of the sky to become light, or number 215, which can also mean become bright. So the Elohim permitted the expanse of the sky to become bright on the land and dominate the day and night and separate the light from the darkness. And the Elohim saw that it was good. And then verse 19 says, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So verses 17 through 19 say, and the Elohim permitted the expanse of the sky to become bright on the land and dominate the day and the night and divide the light from the darkness. And the Elohim saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And we'll add that here. It says the Elohim caused the sun, moon, and stars to be visible on the earth. And then verse 20 says, and the Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And this word translated as fowl, number 5775, it means flying creatures, birds, and winged insects. So it says, let the waters bring forth moving creatures and flying creatures that may fly above the earth in the open firmament, or number 50, I'm sorry, firmament is number 7549, which means extended surface or expanse. So flying creatures in the open expanse of heaven, or number 8064, which also means sky or atmosphere. It can also mean the abode of the stars, but in verse 20, it's obviously talking about the atmosphere or sky because it's talking about the birds flying around. So verse 20 says, and the Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and flying creatures that may fly above the earth in the open expanse of the atmosphere. And then verse 21 says, and the Elohim created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl or flying creature after his kind. And the Elohim saw that it was good. So remember this word translated as created, number 1254. It also means create new conditions. So this can say the Elohim created the whales, or it can say the Elohim created new conditions for the whales, or the great sea monsters or dragon. You can see it also means that here. The word is number 8577, which means dragon, sea monster, or whale. So verse 21 says, and the Elohim created new conditions for great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged flying creature after their kind. And the Elohim saw that it was good. Then verses 22 and 23 say, and the Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl or flying creatures multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So we'll add verses 22 and 23. The Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the flying creatures multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day, or the fifth thousand-year period. So we'll add that here. The Elohim created new conditions in the sea and the atmosphere that would sustain life. And then verse 24 says, and the Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. So again, the word he is not in the original, and the more accurate word is there after their kind. So verse 24 says, and the Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And then verse 25 says, and the Elohim made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And the Elohim saw that it was good. And this word translated as made, number 6213, right here, it means make, but it also means brought about. So it can say either the Elohim made the beasts of the earth, or the Elohim brought about the beasts of the earth after their kind. So verse 25, and the Elohim brought about the beasts of the earth after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after their kind. And the Elohim saw that it was good. So the Elohim brought about the animals and insects on the earth. And then verse 26 says, and the Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl or flying creatures of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And the first point here is that even the King James Version is acknowledging that God, or the Elohim, is more than one person, because it says, let us make man in our image. And this word translated as man, number 120, means human being. So verse 26 says, and the Elohim said, let us make human beings in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth, basically. So this verse tells us two things. First, the humans are in the image or likeness of the Elohim, which indicates that the Elohim are either human or humanoid. So we'll add that here. The Elohim made humans in their image, and that indicates that they either are human or humanoid. And the second point in verse 26 is that they did not take dominion over the earth themselves, but gave the dominion over the earth to humans. So after the Elohim made the earth habitable and put humans here, they gave it over to the humans, which means they did not put us here to dominate us, but to let us have dominion. So verse 26 indicates the Elohim are human or humanoid, and they're benevolent. And then verse 27 says in the King James translation, so God created humans in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So again, the word he is not in the original text, and it's not appropriate because we know the word Elohim is plural. So a more accurate translation would say, the Elohim created humans in their image. In the image of the Elohim, they created them, male and female, they created them. So the Elohim created humans in their own image. In the image of the Elohim, they created them, male and female, they created them. And then verse 28 says, and the Elohim blessed them, and the Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl or flying creatures of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And one of the definitions of the word subdue is to bring under cultivation. So verse 28 says, and the Elohim blessed them, and the Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and bring it under cultivation and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the flying creatures of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth. Then verse 29 says, and the Elohim said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And the word translated as herb also means plant. The word face, number 6440, also means surface. And the word translated as meat, number 402, also means food. So verse 29 says, and the Elohim said, behold, we have given you every plant bearing seed, which is upon the surface of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. So the Elohim blessed humans and gave them plants and fruit for food. And then verse 30 says, into every beast of the earth, and to every fowl or flying creature of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So notice the phrase I have given is not in the original. It just says all the green herbs for food. So verse 30 says, and to every beast of the earth, and to every flying creature of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, every green plant will be for food. And it was so. So the Elohim gave the animals and the insects plants for food. And then verse 31 says, and the Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And again, the word he is not in the original and not appropriate because the word Elohim is plural. So you can see verse 31 says, the Elohim saw all they made, and behold, the abundance was good. So verse 31 says, and the Elohim saw everything that they had made, and behold, the abundance was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So all throughout the first chapter of Genesis, we're told that what the Elohim did for the earth and all the life on it was good. That's mentioned over and over throughout Genesis 1. So this is basically what Genesis chapter 1 explains as the short version of how the earth was made habitable for life by benevolent beings that appear to have been either human or humanoid. And in the next video, we'll look at Genesis chapters 2 and 3, which talk about Yahweh and the hybrids. So if you want more information, the whole series playlist, Bible's Countdown to the Asteroid, is linked here. And there are several other videos linked in the description below. Just click on Show More to open up more links on this subject. And if you like this video, please consider providing support. These presentations are funded by viewers like you, so I just want to say thank you to everyone who's making this research possible. I hope you're doing well, and I'll talk to you in the next video.